بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. وقال تعالى: إذ جعل الذين كفروا في قلوبهم الحمية حمية الجاهلية، الآية. وقال تعالى: ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا. وقال تعالى: ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ولا تحاسدوا ولا تباغضوا. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إياكم والحسد، فإن الحسد يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحطب، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dearly beloved, respected elders, brothers, scholars and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, it is truly a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu wa manawaluhu, that He has enabled every one of us to gather here. Firstly, so that we can please Allah, and secondly, so that every one of us can cultivate a worry and concern as to how each and every one of us until the Day of Judgment can be saved from the eternal destruction of the life hereafter. And thirdly, so that we could all fulfill this duty and obligation of the Friday prayer. I do hope that all of you would have had an excellent festival and the celebration of Eid after the blessed month of Ramadan. And I hope that every one of us will continue in acquiring the blessings of this blessed month in the future as well. Today I'd like to talk about the evils of anger, hatred and jealousy. From the ahadith we find that many nations have been destroyed because of these most poisonous illnesses of the heart, individually and collectively. And I would like to talk about zidd ma'wala as well, obviously the opposites of hatred, jealousy and anger. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith to the nearest meaning that if jealousy is allowed or envy is allowed, it is only allowed with respect to two types of people. To the nearest meaning, the first type of people are those people who constantly engage in spending their wealth in the path of Allah. We should feel envious towards that. That is a great act. The factor is here is not to acquire this poison of jealousy or envy, but it is to aspire to the higher level of righteousness that this person is adopting and acquire that and absorb that in our lives. That's the reason. And the second type of person, or the second kind of people who we can feel envious if allowed in Islam, are those believers who constantly engage in the recitation of the Holy Quran to such an extent that even the onlooker will experience that ecstasy and that spiritual pleasure, so that we can also increase our recitation of the Holy Quran. So if there are any types of people that we can feel envious of, then they are these two categories of people. Other than this, we must not feel jealousy and envy towards anyone. The problem with jealousy and envy is, if we analyze in detail, it is that I personally do not feel content and fulfilled with the destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon me. And therefore, as a result of that, I'm also not feeling happy with that person's destiny. In essence, I want him or her to lose the goodness and the good qualities that they have at the expense of me acquiring them. And some people go even further. Regardless of what happens to me, I want to make sure that that person loses the good quality in him. This is the poisonous illness of jealousy and envy. It completely breaks people and families. So that's why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, "Iyyakum wal hasad." Keep away from this envy. That is a destructive nature, very powerful thing. It will destroy our deeds. and lead us to the fire of hell. May Allah save us from this. So envy and jealousy is very common today. May Allah forgive us. And people indulge in so many ill practices as a result of this. Cause so many families to break up. At the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ikram, whenever there was an opportunity for any negative feeling or vibes between the Sahaba, there were only two groups. What were they? Sorry? Yes, there were only the Muhajirun and there were only the Ansar. These are only the two groups that have been identified in Islam. There is no more scope for groups. وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَتْقَاكُمْ. We have our family bloodlines so that we may be recognized through our families, so that we may realize the truth, and that is that it's not the bloodlines that are important here, it is the fact that it is the fear and the love of Allah that allows a person to be elevated in the eyes of Allah. That's what the Quran is saying. So whenever there was an opportunity of some kind of negative vibration or something negative at the time of Rasulullah, he always immediately eliminated that. And I'm going to mention one specific occasion. This is the expedition of Hunayn. أَلَا تَرَوْنَ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْأَنْصَارِ أَنْ يَذْهَبَ النَّاسِ بِالشَّاةِ وَالْبَعِيرِ وَتَرْجِعُوا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى رِحَالِكُمْ. The people of the Ansar, they said that Prophet ﷺ had distributed the booty on that occasion to the people of the Muhajirin, and had in some way neglected the Ansar. And the Ansar, they said that our swords have been bloodied. We are the ones who were in the front lines. We are the ones who were slain. And now, when it comes to the booty, the halal wealth, it is given to those people who are affiliated to Rasulullah ﷺ. Rasulullah ﷺ, he was very upset. And he gathered everyone together, the Muhajirin and the Ansar. Because he could feel that the vibes of enmity and hatred were actually coming up. And this is at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. And he could never tolerate this. This has never been tolerated in Islam. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Strong, powerful kalam of the Quran. Hold strongly the rope of Allah. And do not be distributed and do not be divided. Do not break your unity. That will destroy you. Rasulullah got all of the Sahaba ikram together in expedition of Hunayn. And he said, do you not see? أَلَا تَرَوْنَ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْأَنْصَارِ. Oh, the people of the Ansar, people of Medina, of Yasrib. Do you not see that although I distributed the animals and the cattle and the sheep and the goats, did you not see who acquired the Messenger of Allah? You were the ones who acquired Rasulullah. They may have acquired the wealth, they may have acquired the physical means and the material gain, but you acquired the Rasul of Allah. Is that not sufficient for you? You feel that this is a point where you have to raise this point to signify that you've lost some wealth, may not have gained that, but you have everything because you have Rasulullah on your side. وَتَرْجِعُوا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَىٰ رِحَالِكُمْ. Prophet then said, وَالَّذِي نَسِي بِيَدِي. If I swear by Allah, who controls my life to the nearest minute, that if the whole world was on one side and the Ansar was on one side, then I would be with the Ansar. I would be with the Ansar. And at that time, Rasulullah he shed tears, and all of the Muhajirin and the Ansar, they all cried and they all collected together and they reformed the love and the bond that was there because of the beauty of Al-Islam. It could never be tolerated that we break our unity. Today, even on happy, forgive me for saying this, even on happy occasions, we're willing to break up with our fellow Muslims. Why? Because he celebrated Eid on another day. I'm not picking on anyone whatsoever. I'm just saying that even the highest level of unity is a means of breaking the Ummah today. That is how low we have fallen today in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the destructive factors that cause many groups of people to break
Now that is anger, hatred, and envy and jealousy. We have to eliminate that. In order to truly eliminate them, we have to look at what are the reasons. There are many reasons why. I mean, I'm not going to go into details. Let me talk about anger and hatred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to love for His sake and hate for His sake. Al-hubbu lillah wal-bughdhu lillah. These are the only two reasons. This is the only reason why we can, if necessary. Even then, we do not hate the human being. We hate the ill, the wrongness inside that person. We do not hate. We hate the kufr or the shirk inside him, or the severe, the illness, or the sin, or the ma'asiyat inside him. But we do not hate that person. We're not allowed to. We have to respect the human beings. Prophet ﷺ has said that maladies of the previous nations have crept into their lifestyles because of jealousy and hatred. And he says these are destructive factors. I do not say that they shave or destroy the hair, but rather they annihilate and shave the deen completely. A person can be very pious on the onset, but his ability to remain annoyed and away from his fellow Muslims for excessive amounts of time will mean that all of his good deeds will be wiped out. So what was the point? If a person, he swears at someone, now usually when a person is angry, he's in a rage, he will swear at someone. The question is it purely for the sake of Allah? Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, in one of the expeditions, he had overpowered the disbeliever about to, and that person had tried very hard to slaughter Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and he'd killed other people as well. He's on top of this person, and as he was about to strike the dagger into his heart, the disbeliever spat on his face. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu pulled back, put the sword and the dagger back into its mane, and stepped away from him. And the person looked at him and said, if I was in your place, I would have killed you all the more ruthlessly. Because what I had done was just as a last line of resort, because I knew I was going to die, and I thought I'd just get my way at the end. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, we will come back again. I'll stand in a duel with you again, but I will not kill you now, because now my emotions are there as well. My emotions have come in between me and serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore I cannot kill you at this occasion. And he stepped away. And that person was compelled to come into the fold of Islam. This is how much we have to control our anger. Today, our fellow Muslim, or even our brother, our blood brother, he says something to annoy us, and now we're not talking for days because of the anger and the rage. It's because of our emotions. It's because of our pride. Anger generally stems mainly, if it's not al-hubbu lillah wal-bughdhu lillah, then it's purely out of pride and arrogance. We want to keep our vanity in place. And that is what we have to learn to control. Rectification of the heart is the only cure for this. And zikrullah and remembering Allah and the powerful names of Allah will eliminate this ill and this poison. We have to learn to control our anger. Prophet ﷺ has said in a hadith to the Nurse Mini that the strongest amongst you is not the one who can dismantle the opposition or bring him down in a combat situation, but it is that one when in extreme rage and anger he has the ability to drink down that very fiery substance of the anger and then control his anger. Not being angry is wrong. It's okay to be angry, but it is excessively harmful to execute that anger in an extremely violent way. Of course, if the child does something wrong, the child needs to know. And that will come in al-hubbu lillah wal-bughdhu lillah, training of the children, the rectification. We have to do the tarbiyah, Islam, but not let our emotions get in the way of it. If we're punishing the child, how much of that is based on the fact that he did something wrong, and how much of it is because we were upset by the fact that, and our emotions got in the way? That's where we draw the line, and that is the difference between an excellent parent and somebody who just makes out that he cares for his children. That is something that is learned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he spent 10 years in the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were many occasions he must have upset Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he said, in the 10 years Rasulullah says, never ever use the word why. Never ever asked him why. That question means that it's going to cause destruction. As soon as you ask someone why, he's going to say, what's your problem? And he's going to ask, in turn, he's going to ask the question why as well, and say, why are you getting so upset with me? He's going to ask a why, because you've asked the question why. So we have to learn to control our anger. More so, the amount of ruthless behavior that the Quraysh and all of the people in Mecca did to Rasulullah ﷺ, that at the conquest of Mecca, when there were 12,000 swords blazing down as they walked back in, if they wanted to, they could have completely taken full justice with the situation, but they didn't, they held back. The people, they said, Al-Yawma Yawmul Malhama. Today is the day of justice, when we will make up for the lost ground, the torture that happened. Prophet said, hold your tongue. Al-Yawma Yawmul Malhama. Today is the day of showing mercy to the people, because that is how they will come close to Islam. Not a day of anger, not a day of justice today. People like Ikramah bin Abi Jahl, Abu Sufyan and Hinda, they were all fearful. And Hinda herself, the one who chewed the liver of the beloved uncle of Rasulullah, Hazrat Hamza, Asadullahi wa Asadur Rasulina, I've covered this story, this narration in one of my early sermons, caused so much pain and grief that in the 7-year period from the time when Hamza radiallahu anh had been slaughtered and his body was mutilated, all the way up to the 7-year period when the assassin who did this heinous crime, he came to Rasulullah ﷺ, having been invited by Rasulullah ﷺ, and then came into the fold of Islam. In that 7-year period, Prophet ﷺ had done the Ghaibana Janaza prayer of Hazrat Hamza over 70 times because of the excessive loving that he had for his beloved uncle. But even then he forgave Rashi bin Haram. And at the conquest of Mecca, Ikramah bin Abi Jahl and Abu Sufyan and Hinda, who were the husband and wife couple who had actually hired that assassin, he had forgiven them as well. And they came looking, and they came to the Haram. And Hinda, she said, up to today, when I looked at you, Muhammad, you were the worst person in my eyes. And now I look at you, you're most beloved in my eyes. Why? It was the control of the anger and the love and the respect and the reverence that they showed to the human beings that allowed the wind of Hidayat and the light of guidance to completely bypass all of these restrictions, emotional restrictions. And that penetrated deep into the core of their hearts. That's why they came into the fold of Islam. Today we will have to learn to control our anger, eliminate envy. And we will have to remove the hatreds and the barriers of hatred. And that is also a separate subject that we have to cover on another occasion. Today, we feel proud on our Islam, on the fact that I have the ability to practice Islam, but we are being selfish. We would rather have many people of the other religions. We would, if we had it our way, may Allah forgive us, and we don't have it our way in this, then we would slaughter them and make sure they end up in the fire of hell. But that is not the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Prophet ﷺ came as a mercy for the whole of all of the universes and all of the mankind. There's one person who's committed the crime of theft. On the one hand, Prophet ﷺ has commanded to enforce the Sharia. And after every situation, he looked at every avenue, but there was no choice. But on the other hand, he was sitting there crying as well, praying that what is happening to one of my ummah. He had to enforce it because that's the Sharia, but he also had the love in his heart because that is why he came. The love and the reverence and the respect of every human being. We haven't acquired the qualities of Rasulullah ﷺ yet. We haven't. Otherwise people would look at us and come into the fold of Islam. Wallahi, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ. You cannot have that accolade and that title with somebody who is arrogant, knows a bit like Zalik, or powerful or proud or out to kill the people. Prophet ﷺ, he loved those people who tried their very best to learn, understand, practice, to propagate Islam to everyone until the day of judgment. That was his first and foremost love. So I've talked about hatred and anger and jealousy. I'm not talking about the others. Just finishing off with one. The expedition of Muta, when Zaid bin Har, Rasulullah sent an army of 4,000 strong, and they were facing the odds, huge odds, against 400,000. Just to give you an example of who are the beloved of Rasulullah. He made Zaid bin Haris the Amir, commander in chief. He said, if he's slain, then Ja'far bin Abi Talib should become the Amir. And if he's slain, then Abdullah bin Rawaha. And if he's slain, then the army decide amongst themselves. Huge odds. One by one, they were all slaughtered. Hazrat Zaid bin Haris was the adopted son of Rasulullah. He was slain in this. And when Rasulullah heard that he'd been slain, he went back to the house and greeted the wife. And she looked at him. He greeted the wife of Hazrat Zaid bin Haris. And the children came running, hoping that there would be good news. But there was no good news. Prophet was standing there, tears rolling out of his eyes, as Sa'd bin Ubadah was with him. And she asked, what has happened? And as soon as she knew, she fell to the ground. Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah, he asked Rasulullah, why are you crying? What kind of tears are these? Mahad al-buka ya Rasulullah? Prophet replied, Hada shawq al-habibi ila al-habib. These are the tears of the beloved for the beloved. That was the way he had great love and reverence for those people who did everything possible to continue with propagating the true word of Allah and Rasul. But we must do it with sympathy, tolerance and understanding. May Allah grant every one of us the ability to control our anger, eliminate our hatred and eliminate our jealousy, say ameen, and give everyone the tawfiq to lead a life of obedience so that we may learn Islam, understand Islam, practice Islam and propagate Islam to each and every one until the day of judgment. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Aqim as-safa al-awwal fil awwal.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar.